Hi, I'm Dr. Tamitha Scove, the Space Weather Woman, and you are listening to audio from my video forecast. So when I reference something to look at or to watch, if you want to see it, just visit my YouTube channel or check it out at spaceweatherwoman.com. And now, here is your forecast. The sun gets some bright new regions, with one of them being from solar cycle 25. And it's your last chance to watch Mercury cross in front of the sun for at least another decade. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather at Earth may be a bit on the quiet side this week, but at the sun, it's actually pretty exciting. As we flip to our front side sun, you can immediately see a couple bright regions, including a high latitude region in the southern hemisphere that's actually from the new cycle, solar cycle 25. And you can actually watch it. Pow! It fires a flare, and pow! It fires a flare again. This is showing stronger and stronger influences from solar cycle 25 that's up and coming. We're not there yet, but we're definitely getting closer. On top of that, we also have a coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth's strike zone probably sometime next week, so we're going to have to wait for it. But as we switch to our far side sun, you can see we actually have yet another coronal hole that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next couple days, because this is, we're kind of looking at the sun from the side with stereo here. And then also on the east limb of stereo's view, you can see yet another southern hemisphere high latitude bright region. And this may be yet another sunspot from solar cycle 25. And if that's the case, boy, it looks like we're going to be ramping up activity soon. Get ready, because on November 11th, if you turn your face skyward, you just might catch the planet Mercury passing in front of the sun. This celestial event is quite rare, and after this event, you won't get a chance to see it again for another 13 years. The reason why Mercury transits are so rare is due to Mercury and Earth moving in orbits that are slightly tilted with respect to one another. This means that in order for the Sun, Mercury, and Earth to align for such a transit, Mercury and Earth both have to be at the right place at the right time. Currently, these alignments can only occur during 2 months of the year, in early May and in early November. But the magical moment of alignment of the Sun, Mercury, and Earth only happens about 13 times every century. During Mercury's passage on November 11th, the planet will hardly be more than a tiny beauty mark crossing the sun's face as it passes. This is due to Mercury being the planet closest to our star, with an average distance that is 70% closer to the sun than is Earth. So in order to see the tiny marble passing across the sun's face, you will need special gear like telescopes or binoculars equipped with protective solar filters. Now, Mercury will begin its celestial journey across the Sun starting at 7:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's 12:30 UTC, with the entire transit taking about 5.5 hours. Here on Earth, Mercury's transit will be visible from most of North America, all of South America and Africa, and parts of Europe, Asia, and Antarctica. This means sun gazers in cities like New York, Montreal, and Sao Paulo will be able to see the entire transit, while people in California, Rome, and Cairo can catch part of Mercury's journey across the sun. But no matter where you are, remember, special solar filters need to be on all telescopes or binoculars pointed at the sun. Sunglasses or tinted shades will not protect your eyes from permanent damage. And please, do not pair solar eclipse glasses with regular binoculars or telescopes, as they are not designed to protect your eyes from the magnified light seen through these scopes. But don't worry if you don't have a properly equipped telescope. There are plenty of live webcast watching parties online. Check out SLU and the Virtual Telescope Project, just to name a few. And while you watch the planet transit across the face of the sun, think about what it would be like to actually stand on the surface of Mercury during this passage. There, the sun is 3 times as large and 7 times as bright as it appears here at Earth, while you and your troubles would only weigh about 1/3 as much as you do now. And if the sun's heat doesn't melt your worries away, then at least the change in scenery would surely brighten and lighten your day. Switching to our moon, we've now passed through the first quarter phase on our way to a full moon, with the full moon being on the 12th. So you night sky watchers, if you plan to catch those dim objects in the sky, you're going to need to check your local rise and set times. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are dealing with a bit of disturbed conditions, pretty much from a remnant coronal hole that's kind of coasting through the Earth strike zone right now. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 25% chance of a minor storm, and that should settle down over the next couple days. At mid-latitudes, we're also expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 20% chance of active conditions. But again, this is pretty sporadic and it won't last all that long. Things should get pretty quiet as we move in through the weekend. And then as we move out of the weekend into the beginning of next week, and that's when you're going to have that transit of Mercury across the sun on Monday the 11th. We're going to also possibly get a chance for some fast solar wind hitting from a coronal hole that will be a real coronal hole that'll be rotating in through the Earth strike zone. So that's going to up our chances again to get some solar storms and maybe some aurora at high latitudes. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to big solar flares. We have no risk for radio blackouts right now because the sunspots that we've had on the sun, well, just like they always do at solar minimum, they appear for a few days and then they kind of submerge back down. So even though we had two sunspots, region 2750 and region 2751, they have both since decayed. So we are back to a spotless sun with just some bright regions. And unfortunately, even though this is good news for GPS users on Earth's day side, the reception should be good for you guys. The solar flux is tanking again, so we are just barely hanging on to marginal conditions right now, but within the next couple days, that solar flux will tank further, and sorry if you've been getting some decent propagation on the Earth's day side, it's going to continue to fall off the map easily over this next week and get back into the poor conditions, so you're just going to have to deal with it. We might get a reprieve when that other bright region that stereo sees will rotate into Earth view, but it's kind of hard to tell right now, so probably expect poor conditions to continue for the foreseeable future. Now, also because we are at solar minimum, we're getting a higher cosmic ray flux impingement than we normally would. So you frequent flyers, and this does include aircrew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are in the moderate range for radiation dose, and this does include you prenatal passengers, so please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So although space weather here at Earth is a bit on the quiet side, back at the sun, things are getting kind of fun. We've had a couple bright regions on the Earth-facing disk, including one at high latitudes that is from solar cycle 25. As a matter of fact, it was actually firing off a couple B-class flares before it submerged below the surface again. And even on the sun's far side, we're seeing yet another high latitude region in the southern hemisphere. So it shows us that the southern hemisphere, at least, is thinking of starting solar cycle 25. It's not quite there yet, but we'll keep watching to see if the activity continues to boost. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that we've got this huge boost in solar flux, so amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you're still dealing with marginal radio propagation, and actually things are going to get a little bit worse before they get better. Expect poor radio propagation on Earth's day side easily over this next week and possibly longer. But at least you GPS users, you're loving life right now because GPS reception all over the globe is looking pretty good. Now, also aurora photographers, well, you're going to have to not look for aurora for a little while unless you're at high latitudes. You mid-latitude folks, what you really need to consider looking at is up at the sun and watching that transit of Mercury across the sun's face on November 11th. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for listening.